It is 11:45 one night in January of 1984. My daughter Calla, then in the midst of her terrible twos, wakes up my wife Lily and myself. She can't sleep. The three of us sit there in our bedroom, wide-eyed and at loose ends. I turn on The Tonight Show and see that Joan Rivers is the host. It reminds me that I'm scheduled to have lunch in a few days with Johnny Carson. Then Joan snaps me back to reality by saying, "Let's bring him out, folks, Bill Cosby." As Cosby goes into his monologue, my initial thought is, this man is a stand-up comedian like Einstein was a physics whiz. Although he is hardly old, Cosby strikes me, tonight more than ever before, as being from the tradition of Jackie Gleason, Red Skelton, Jack Benny, and Bob Hope, a link to an era when giants walked the earth. Those guys could do it all, I'm thinking. Work nightclubs, act in movies, make records, and write books. But ah, they're a dying breed. Then just as I finish composing this term paper for the Georgie Jessel School of Celebrity Eulogizing, I notice that Cosby has completely reworked his act. He's not talking about Fat Albert or sleeping in the same bed with six of his brothers anymore. He's talking about being an adult, the father of adolescent children, the husband of a woman he met 20 years ago but is still getting to know. His stories are rooted in the real world. One is about his neighbor's daughter getting pregnant, having the baby, and then going off to college and leaving her parents with the kid. He manages to be contemporary without being caustic. Cosby himself, in fact, seems to have mellowed along with his material. I don't see the anger just behind his eyes that made me a little uncomfortable when I watched him on The Tonight Show just a few years ago. Suddenly, various wheels are spinning in my head. I'm thinking of the Newsweek cover story I just saw on the new baby boom. It's been hot news that yuppies are pouring out of their fern bars to nest and propagate, that the generation of free love is suddenly thinking in terms of expensive schools, home remodeling, getting old, parenting, commitments, and other subjects that Cosby is now nailing to the wall in his act. My heart is pounding. My mind is going into overdrive. You see, I dream television. Shows, concepts, pitch meetings, power breakfasts. Television was my life. For 12 years, I had the best, worst job in the world. It was the best job because it came with almost godlike power. When you're head of a network's entertainment division, you can get the germ of an idea that might lead to the Cosby Show, help make it real, and then see it pumped into 50 million homes. Or put a show like Miami Vice on the air, then watch the men of America stop shaving and wearing socks. Here was the authority to greenlight an early Frost, the first television movie about AIDS, and push for Adam, which made a nation conscious of the perils of missing children. The ability to look a cop show producer in the eye, tap a script with my index finger, and say, "I want you to kill off the crack dealer in the second act." And yes, you can even play God and kill off a lead character in a series. This is exactly what happened, for example, in Valerie. And the show lived on for another 3 years. Publicly, all that changed was the title of the show. It became The Hogan Family. Privately, my staff and I called it Throw Mama from the Series. But my job was also the worst job in the world because television is a monster that keeps screaming, "Feed me." Television is a game in which you keep score in various ways. Nielsen ratings, corporate profits, an inner sense of having done good work. And as much as those of us in television, producers, directors, writers, executives, feel like tearing our hair out when one of our favorite shows gets killed in the ratings, threatening the corporate bottom line, winning is the only way you get to keep playing. And the secret of winning is that you have to be completely obsessed. Because ultimately, no matter how good a team you've assembled, and I for one had a great one, you're the one responsible for it all. Scheduling was one of the things I was thinking about that fateful night I caught Bill Cosby on The Tonight Show. Having a strong show like Cosby at 8 o'clock could be the start of a perfect TV night, something that depends on grabbing the audience early and providing the maximum viewer flow from one time slot to the next. Marty Starker, who was head of programming at ABC when I...